Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I am your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with hedging clients, speculators, broker assisted. We have a great online platform for online traders, and we also, our most popular service is the hybrid, which is a mixture of both. In addition to my weekly newsletter, which this podcast is part of, that anyone can get. For clients, I do have our spec ideas and Turner's Take Market Alert, and our hedging emails that go to our farming clients or anyone to receive them. I was a client here, Turner's Take Ag Marketing. If you'd like to know more about those products, you can go to turnerstake.com for the newsletter and the spec, and then turnerstakeag.com for more of the hedging side of the business. So let's get into it. We had quite a day in the grain markets, but first, as always, I'd like to just touch on the macro markets. The latest reports have been showing global growth slowing down a little bit more than expected. You know, last year this time, global growth was about 4% quarter to quarter for GDP, global GDP. Right now, we're in the low twos. So we're not in global recession. We are slowing. You know, there's no negative growth, and unless you want to define the recession as a slowdown, but you know, it is slower than it was, but it's definitely not close to zero or negative, which would technically be a depression. But 2% growth isn't so bad. It would be nicer to see it around 3 or 4%. That would help out with commodity prices, certainly. And same thing with the United States growth. It has, you know, as a recap, it has slowed down. Again, it is not negative, but not as robust as it was last year. So those reports, especially for the global economy, just came out in the past 24 hours, showing that global growth is a little bit slower than expected. Other than that, it looks like the markets are pretty steady here. The dollar, you know, there's still going to be expectations that we see maybe interest rate raise or two in the end of the year, and the stock market has stabilized from the beginning of the year also. So, you know, even if it's not gangbusters with the economy, at least it's a little bit more steady. And if the United States and China get a trade deal, which we'll talk about a little bit farther in the show, that's just going to help not just the U.S. economy and the Chinese economy, but the global economy too. So that is the macro environment. Now, since we are talking about U.S. and China, might as well just switch to the grain markets first. I was going to do it last in the podcast, but might as well do it now. It's a good segue. Wheat was up 23 cents today. Corn, which on the chart, I'll add a chart to the newsletter and the podcast, and you can see the reversal on the wheat chart. Corn was up 3 to 4 cents, and at one point it was up 5 cents during the day. Soybeans, I think, finished up 5 to 6 cents, and at one point they were up 8 or 9 cents on the day. I think at one point wheat was up 25 or 26, finished up about 22, 23. So what happened? A couple of things happened. We did see some offers from around the globe for wheat tenders. I think there was Japan, Algeria, Tunisia. The United States was competitively priced in all of them. I don't know if we won any of them, but when the wheat prices were firmer, Russian wheat prices were firmer, and those tenders were coming out. So I think that started off the day already good in wheat's favor. Then United States Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer said a deal may only be a few weeks away. What's interesting about that, it's been Trump who's been the cheerleader of this, and then it's Lighthizer who's, you know, has kind of been like playing the bad cop, right? And saying there's a lot more to go, we're not there yet, there are tough things to figure out, while Trump has been allowed to say, hey, we're going to buy more ag and corn than anyone dreamed of, or something like that, right? So to see the U.S. Trade Representative come out to Congress and say, hey, we're close enough to a deal that we already have a 120-page document for the trade agreement, and we're still hammering on important details, but we may be a few weeks away. It's kind of an about-face for him. And when those comments came out on top of the bullish wheat news, we really saw the funds covering, and especially on the wheat side. I think the funds are record short Kansas City wheat, so it's not surprising to see that that was the market that covered the hardest. I'm going to think the market bought back a lot of corn and soybeans too, but we're definitely led by the wheat. When we open up later tonight, I would expect some kind of follow-up on these things, in terms of, like, you know, some more short covering. You know, not heavy, but we did see some pretty big volume today in all these markets. So, you know, you could make the case, you know, with the reversal in wheat and where we are on the trade deal and some of these wheat tenders, we may have a spring low. That, you've been hearing that around. That is a possibility. You know, I guess we could turn around and start selling. But if you take a look at the catalysts that are going to happen for the next couple of weeks, we're going to have the acreage report. We will have probably more and more talk of South American harvest, which is a little bit of a bearish influence, and more competition in the export market, which would be to the bear side. But on the bull side, that could be far outweighed if, you know, depending on the details in a U.S.-China deal. You had gotten the sense that some of the funds and big traders, and especially media outlets, had kind of thrown in the towel. In the Midwest, that wasn't the case, but on the coasts and the big cities and the big traders and monies that aren't directly 100% primarily in ag, you know, more on the outside or more in the macro markets, had kind of given up a little bit. We may see that sentiment change. Also, what is talked about in the ag community, but not so much outside, is the issues we're going to have this spring with planting. Just how wet and cold it is. Now there's concerns about flooding in the river. If we do get some pretty big floods, that can wipe away some acres here. Not just, you know, just from the flooding itself, but also the delays that we may have throughout, you know, other parts of the country. So that could build in some premium too. And you got to start asking yourself, do you want to be short down at these prices? So things can change very quickly. I don't think we're going to go rallying to the moon anytime soon, but I do think we'll find some pretty big support at the lows that we scored earlier this week. That would be that would make sense, especially if we continue to hear positive support of this trade deal going forward. So that's going to be interesting. And you can see just how even, you know, a representative talking to Congress saying, like, yeah, we're far away, but, you know, it could be a couple of weeks out, because he kind of was talking out both sides of his head, out of his mouth. And yet we got this positive reaction. So something to keep in mind also. So going forward, I'd much rather be long the grain markets than short. I still like corn. I think there's value there and potential in the corn market for the hedgers out there. I still like the straddles. It's going to be a volatile spring. I can see us testing lows again. I can see in us make a 20-cent run in corn and go back to where we were just a month ago. It totally feasible, both sides. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw both scenarios happen as we go along here. More biased to the upside, but we're going to need a couple of weeks to start getting into more of a bullish news catalyst for the grain markets anyways. So in soybeans, I think if you're a farmer, we'll see what the trade deal says. I don't love bottom picking right here. I think we should be probably looking at ways to reduce risk heading into the spring and summer when we get the rallies. Same with wheat, a little bit more bullish corn. So, and I'll be writing about that also as we come in. For the livestock, I think this is a time of year where you want to get more bullish on hogs and probably a little bit more bearish on cattle. Belly prices have been real strong. Demand has been picking up on the product market for the hogs, and also you typically see better demand Seasonal demand, you know, for barbecue on the retail level, you really do. It's a pattern, and the market prices that in to some respect, anyways, on the hog market. Also, African swine flu in China and a trade deal with China would lead to more pork probably coming from the United States into China. So, I think there's more reasons to be bullish on hogs than bearish. I'm going to be looking at the hog spreads, you know, maybe the spring and summer months versus the fall and winter. We'll probably be looking at those. I also think that cattle has run up and we're starting to see some of it backing off. Demand has been very good and there were weather issues and we did lose some tonnage, but that seems to be all priced in now, and this is also a time of year where we start to see the cattle prices start to come down as demand isn't as strong, plus the weights start to get bigger as the weather gets better and they can pack on more pounds. So we'll be looking at the bear spreads, probably selling like the spring summer months and buying the fall and winter. I did write about that yesterday in Turner's Take Market Alert. So I have a bullish bias on hogs, have a bearish bias on the cattle for the time being. On crude, we're still thinking crude's range bound and if crude gets below 50, it's probably a buy. Crude starts to get into the 60s. You got to be concerned about it just because OPEC can always pump more, right? And the global economy and the U.S. economy isn't really gangbusters. I think the one thing that could set crude oil and the energy markets a lot higher is if China comes in and has a huge agreement to buy a lot of U.S. energy. And that certainly can help. It's one of the reasons why I like the June versus Dec bull spread in crude when it does get down to, you know, to its support levels. And if you look at the newsletter, I've been writing about those support levels on Turner's Take Market Alert. And, if we're going to be in a deep carry, I mean, if June is going to be $1.50 or lower than Dec, I got to think we can find some value there. So those are the kind of things we're looking for in the energy markets. Again, I know we had been trading RBOB, bull spreading that. I think we got one. It was a good idea, but we did recently get out of it. I took a profit on it just because the market, I thought, ran up too far too fast. And if we get back down to those original levels, I like it. Again, not only is, you know, we're going to have more demand for gasoline as we get into the spring and summer. And again, if you get a little bit better bump in the economy, if the trade deal goes through, that should be good for gasoline too. So, you know, unfortunately, the trade deal is binary. It either works or it doesn't. But and I've been talking about this a lot, I still think it's in the best interest of both sides to get something done. There will be hiccups. There will be arguments about how much and how they're going to enforce trade with China, how they're going to enforce intellectual property rights. There will be some kind of mechanism that no one's happy about that'll eventually get done. Even when this trade deal gets done, just keep in mind, while it does help reduce U.S. stocks and tighten maybe and raise prices for farmers and producers here in the United States, we're still going to have the same production globally. So even if the stocks tighten in the grain markets and in the energy markets, just keep in mind that just means less in the world market. There'll just be more to go around in other countries. So it will strengthen, it will help out, but we're not going to see beans in the teens or, you know, corn $5 or $6 or, you know, wheat $6 or $7 or something like that, because even if the United States stocks are getting tighter, the global stocks are still going to be plentiful. So just something to keep in mind there. Same with crude. Like, and if China does end up buying a lot of energy from the United States, that just means there's a whole lot more energy in the Black Sea region and Saudi Arabia and Russia and OPEC to sell, right? They're just kind of switching clients. It'd be good, you know, overall bullish for the United States, but not like extremely bullish for the United States. So something to keep in mind, and that's how we're gonna play it. So, there is one other market we've been talking about. We have been trading the sugar market. We still have a bearish outlook on sugar. Demand for sugar, unfortunately, just hasn't been great, and it's actually been one of declining. You see people using less sugar in their diets. And we've had a good crop in Brazil, and you know, as they're harvesting crops now, it's just gonna confirm there's a lot of sugar out there with demand, which isn't, you know, fantastic. So, you know, we had been bear spreading sugar. We got out of that on the rallies here. We'll probably look to get back in there again. Keep an eye out for Turner's Take Market Alert, and we'll go through it. So, going forward, you got to keep one eye on this U.S.-China deal. We think they're going to go through. You know, and when you're in the Midwest and you talk to a lot of farmers, there's a lot of optimism about it. It's amazing how much pessimism there is outside of that bubble. Or not bubble. The bubble is really on the coast. But, like, you know, when you get into, you know, you talk to people in the banking industry in New York, or, you know, talk to some of the bigger traders that are involved in ag in Chicago, the perception of a trade deal is going to get done is a lot more negative than it is in the ag community, which was surprising. But I think that also kind of leads into maybe why there has been so much selling. So, you know, in these markets. So, anyways, that's where we are. That's how we're going to play this market. We're going to have a bias on a trade deal does get done. We have a bullish bias on gasoline, crude oil, hogs and corn. I have a bearish bias right now on the cattle market, and that's how we're going to play it. And if you ever have any questions for me, all my contact information is in the show notes. Happy to talk to anyone anytime. And we're going to use this, if we get this rally here from a U.S.-Chinese trade deal, we're going to have to use this to start marketing some. And getting some risk off the table. So thanks for listening. If you know anyone who likes this, please forward it along, and I'll be talking to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.